does not get tired in doing good. I like what she says, because she said, in due time, here, plug me here. In due time, you will reap a harvest. So, of course, this week, Kendra and I, we were with our network pastors. You know, I don't know if you see or hear what's happening out there. There are a lot of people looking for prophecy. One of the things that I've learned this week, kind of, it was just brought to my attention again. You know, sometimes we're looking for prophecy, right? We want to hear the prophets, which is, you know, I mean, I pray here, I say, God, release the prophetic voice. But a lot of times we are so eager to hear someone says, that thus says the Lord. And then we fall away from, thus says the Lord. Guys, there's one thing the guy was talking, our teacher, PK brought a prophetic teacher to teach us all week. But there's one thing he said that kind of just like, I don't know if I've heard that, if I've ever heard that. He worked at the bank. Maybe some of you worked at the bank. You know what I'm going to say. And he said one of the way they teach them how to make the difference between a false dollar bill, they give them the real bill. They studied the bill. I mean, like me, if I don't know the difference between a real dollar and a fake dollar. But he said they taught them. He said they got to a point where, you know, if they put the dollar up like this, they can see every little stream. They taught them the details of the real dollar. Even the feel of the real dollar. So even how the real dollar feels. You know, it's like, ah, that's fake. So they never bought them the fake dollar. They bought them the real, they taught them what the real dollar looks like, feels like. So then, whenever anybody would dare to bring fake bills in, they do this, right? They do that. And then, of course, they invented the blue light. There's a blue light you put the dollar under, which is the light of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So be careful, because there is a lot of deception out there. I don't know what you listen to at home. I don't know who you're listening to on social media, on YouTube. Prophet this, you know, people, you know, something for you to remember. The prophets in the Old Testament, they predict the future. There's a big difference. I'm going to teach on that, the ministry gifts in the coming weeks, because that is Ephesians chapter, one of the chapters. But I came out with that to warn you. It was for me like, warning, there's a lot of prophets out there talking. And I don't know which prophet you guys are listening to. Everybody wants to hear the prophet. Everybody wants to hear a word when God is already speaking. Now, I believe God can give us a word. But the word he will give you will always point to Jesus. You know, so it's like, I mean, I wrote this. It's filter things. View prophecies as a guidepost on the road, not a map. Don't make a life-changing decision on a prophecy. You know, I remember there was this time, even when I was growing up, there's these prophets, they always had, oh, God says you're going to marry so-and-so. My God, I'm not saying God is not going to, can't say that. But if God's going to say something, filter it. How? Put it under the blue light of the word. It was so rich, you know. It's like when we go to those retreat, especially with the ones in February, it doesn't feel really like vacation, because it's not vacation. It's a week in the presence. But because you in the presence, you come out refreshed, renewed, you know. There's nothing like it. So I'm very thankful for our leaders in the network who they value that, okay? So let's take a couple minutes, and then, of course, we're going to fellowship for the rest of the time. I think everybody. Now, before we leave, I'm going to ask the ushers to stand in the back, and then we can collect our what you bring to the Lord. I think, you know, thank you guys for being generous to support. I mean, even listening to Michelle again, when we give, we can't outgive God. But, you know, I think we should support that more. We need to rally around things like that, to making sure people who are on that area of the map, make sure that they're blessed. Amen? Amen? So let's open the Bible in the book of Ephesians. I'm still there. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. God, we thank you for your word, Father. Thank you that the word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, equip us to righteousness. So, Lord, as we read the Bible today, this chapter, Holy Spirit, thank you. Your word is a lamp to our feet and light in our path. Thank you, Father. We submit under the authority of your word, Lord. Father, I pray that you would increase your fear in my life, decrease the fear of men, but also pray that everyone here listening to these words, their hearts would become tender. They would be convicted where you need them to be convicted. They would be changed where you need them to change. Father, here in this place, in this church, this community, we honor the Bible. We know the Bible is your word, and we submit under it, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Amen. So I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, of course. And I told you, some of you might have the New King James, the King James, the Hebrew, whatever version you read, keep at it. But for me, I love the New Living Translation because it's a lot easier for me to read it. And then the thing is, I'm going to point out something I was studying last night. So I'm like, you know, let me go back to my Hebrew Bible and compare almost every verse. I mean, I've got it on my computer. And there's this one verse in chapter 3. There's this one verse in the end of chapter 2. I'm like, wow. That's why it's good to have concordances. It's good to have dictionaries. As you read the Bible, sometimes you might read and you're not sure what it says. Go to the dictionary or call us, you know. Be careful with AI. AI is a good thing, but be careful with Google, okay? It's a good tool. Thank God for it. But don't put all of your research on there, okay? So let's read chapter 3 in Ephesians. Chapter 3. Sorry, did I say chapter 2? Sorry, chapter 3. Sorry, guys. Oh, yeah. I'm stretching them back there. God's mysterious plan revealed. When I think of all this, let me give them some time to find it. Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3. It says, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming by the way that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Underline those two words in your Bible, if you have apostles and prophets. God has revealed the first this great revelation to them. These two groups. Verse 6, and this is God's plan, See, now you should underline this in your Bible right there. What is God's plan? Great question. What is it? Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equality in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to who? Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its richest variety to all the unseen rulers and authority in the heavenly places. This was the eternal plan which He carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ, our faith in Him, we can now come boldly, confidently into God's presence. Ah, remember, we read the chapter fast, but when you read, like I said in the past, when you read the Bible, never be too in too much hurry. Take time. Because just that little verse there, right there, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come how? How do we come? Boldly and confidently. How? Because of Jesus, you and I, we have access to just show up to Him. What's bold? Boldly. It's courage, knowing that there's no shame. You see, the enemy... Hang on. I'm supposed to keep reading this thing. Let's go verse 13. So please, don't lose heart because of my trials here. Look, this is a guy in prison. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. And then, of course, this is Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. You see, now, this is something I want you to learn. We say a praying church is a dead church. I take that back. A church that's not praying is a dead church. A church that's not praying is a dead church. That's what I meant to say. A church... I'm going to say that 6 more times. A church, you guys are really listening because I'm like, I heard, that sounds right. A church that's not praying is a dead church. A Christian who doesn't have a prayer life, man, I don't know, are you alive or are you dead Christian? And then sometimes you're like, well, I don't know what to pray, how to pray. And let me tell you this, the more you know God's word, praying is so easy. Remember, praying is not just talk, right? They say praying is communicating, right? Communicating. You remember this friend you have in your life? He always wants to talk, you know? Sometimes, I could be that friend, but sometimes in the friendship, I need to shut up and open these to what? Listen, to hear. Because sometimes I tell you, even whatever situation you are with in relationship with others, sometimes some people just need somebody to hear or listen to them. But God do speak. And this week, that's one thing in our exercises we learn. God do speak, but sometimes we are too busy talking, and we don't hear. So, a great example for you. If you're looking for ways to pray, you can use this, Ephesians chapter 3. It says, I pray that from God's glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with what? Inner strength. How many people today needs inner strength? I do. You know, and the fact that you raise your hands, you're acknowledging, you know, my strength, physical strength is not enough. Especially now, more as the day of the Lord gets closer and closer, we need what? Inner strength. And then where does that inner strength come from? From the Lord to our spirit. Let me tell you, the Bible says the flesh does nothing. The flesh is weak. But the spirit, the flesh profits nothing. But our spirit, right? Our spirit. We live by the spirit, and those who live by the spirit will please God. So may use these words in your prayer. I mean, underline this portion in scripture. Learn it. Learn it by heart. You know, write it down on your mirrors. It says this is prayer for spiritual growth. I pray, Lord, I pray from your glorious, unlimited resource that you would empower me today. How many times we wake up and we go to work facing this draining situation? You know, and some of you are teachers. God bless you for being teachers. You know, you work with kids, the kids are sucking life out of you. Or you work wherever you work at Home Depot, customers sucking life out of you. Whatever you do, every day you wake up, just imagine if your inner man is not being filled with God. Life will suck the whatever little life you have out of you. Your responsibilities will suck life out of you. It could be your husband's too, or your wife's, your children. That's why we need to go to that gas station, right? What do we say? You remember Laji? You remember? Yeah, that's my little conversation with Laji. Laji told me that. It's like when I go to home group, that's my gas station. You see, now I have about 43 miles. I saw my truck says I have 43 miles to refuel. But just imagine if I'm just going to be like, you know what, truck, I don't care if this light comes on. I'm going to drive to Richmond. It ain't happening. Why? Guys, I plead with you, please, go to your spiritual gas station. You know, we have soaking. This season we have early in the morning, I seek thee. You might not be able to come here early in the morning, but set your alarm. Make it a priority to go in the Holy of Holies to find God. Because if you don't, life will suck. Whatever life you have within you, discouragement will come. The worries of life. I mean, I'm thinking about my aunt as well. You know, just imagine, I talked to her a couple days before the whole thing happened. Just imagine you living your life, enjoying your kids, and all of a sudden your 45-year-old son just dropped dead. Who planned for this? What do you do as a mother? You know, some of you who were hoping to grow old with your husband, grow older with your wives, and all of a sudden they're not here. Life happens. Now what do you do? Do you give to despair or cry in the corner and remain miserable for the rest of your life? No. We can't do that. And I tell you, I read this prayer. I'm like, oh God, this is so good. And this is, I can understand Paul's heart. And if we could tap into that, even right now, we tap into it. We say, God, give us strength within our spirit, our inner strength. By the power, it says, let me read it again. It says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Verse 17 says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong when the rain comes. Wind blows, what's going to happen to you? This week I was praying for somebody and God gave me a vision, a word, It was a word. And the word, I don't know if they have this tree in Haiti. You guys would know what I'm talking about. There's this big tree called Mapu. I don't know the name of the tree here. I don't know if I've seen. But I've seen some huge, gigantesque trees here. But in Haiti, we've got this big old tree they call Mapu tree. It's the strongest tree on the island. And I told you already, the island, we never used to build for earthquake. My generation, we never heard about earthquake. Now we know because there have been a couple earthquakes in the recent 15 years. So now we're building for earthquakes. But when I was growing up, we built for category 5, category 4, category 3 hurricane. Because, you know, during hurricane season, there's always a Cat 5 hurricane going through Port-au-Prince. And most of the time, those trees, they will survive. Those Mapu trees, they call them Mapu trees. They would survive a category 5 hurricane. And I believe that's the kind of tree we become when we really anchored in God. When our roots goes deep in God, whatever comes, because we remember that story in Matthew 7, it says the wise men build his house on solid rock, and then the fool goes by the beach and builds his house on the sand because they want the breeze. But what happened later on, when category five comes, you know which one's gonna stand? The one house that was built on the rock will stand. So I pray today that Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. God doesn't dwell in man-made building anymore. He dwells where? So then God doesn't dwell anywhere it's dirty. You know? So God is holy, so therefore I must be holy in all I do. Not only in all I do, but in all I say and in all I touch. You mean, that's why I said it here, and I'm going to repeat it. Be careful. Because if you are dwelling in and rooted in Christ, it's very hard to treat people like garbage. There's no racism in Christ. So I don't care. If you're really rooted in the kingdom of God, people have no color. We all bled red, and then when we are dead, we look alike. I mean, it's like we don't think about that stuff. Let you think about that for a minute. Thank God for his word. Verse 18 says, may you have the power to understand all as all God's people should. I like this. It's like so simple. It's like, may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. You should, Paul's saying, you should understand how wide God's love is. My brothers and sisters, I told you this already. You God's favorite. Can you accept? Jim, thank you for reminding us of that this morning. You God's favorite. You know, sometimes we grew up in a family where we never experienced love. We, you know, our mothers, fathers, aunts, or close people never tell us you look good or they love you. So it's hard to receive love. God is not like people. He loves you. He loves you so much. Nothing, you don't have to do anything. Can you believe that? No, just accept that. That I love you. I accept you. I mean, he adapted you. He adapted me. And I can anchor into the fact that God's love is so long, is so wide, is so high, is so deep. I mean, really, if I would ever get a tattoo, those are the verses I would put on my skin to remind myself, God's love is so wide, so deep, so, you know. I put it on my wall to start. You know, because that's the truth. May you experience the love of Christ through, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God who is able through all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish the infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ through all generations forever and ever. Now go back to verse 1. Now verse 1 says what? When I think about all this, what is he talking about? And then it says, when I think about all this, jump back to verse 19 in chapter 2. Verse 19 in chapter 2. Paul says, so now you Gentiles, us Gentiles, we're no longer strangers and foreigners. We are citizens along with all of God's holy people. How many citizens of heaven do we have here? I like that. You know, now God bless my sister because now she's got dual citizenship. But thank God that she knows it. You got triple citizenship. I have triple citizenship. Now, not only you can travel. I mean, I love that because if you think about it, as an American, as a Haitian, I am limited. I cannot go in every country I want. Yeah, as a Haitian. Unless, let me finish my sentence. Unless I apply for a visa, which most of the time they deny us a visa because they think we want to go and stay. That's a huge thing. They don't want to give Haitian visa to go to Germany easy because they think, well, you want to go and stay there illegally. But then if you become a U.S. citizen, then that U.S. passport automatically grants you what? Ability to fly everywhere in the world you need to go. But I want you to picture your citizenship from heaven, how much access that gives you before God and in the spirit will. And I'm going to break it to you again. You need to stop thinking as Americans. Stop thinking as Americans. That's why Paul says, when I think of all these, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. So then we jump back. What is he talking about? When I think about the fact that you Gentiles are no longer strangers anymore. There is nothing like something I really like. I'm thankful for my relationship I have with my son, Ryan. I love it when Ryan wears my shoes. I never told him that. I really do. I love shoes. I love good shoes that makes you don't have feet, your feet doesn't hurt. But every time I'm like, oh, he's wearing my shoes, I'm like, yes. Because that's what a father does. A father takes delight when a true father takes delight when he sees his son is enjoying his blessing. Do you think God wants you to be miserable? No! God does not want you to be miserable. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to enjoy his peace. He wants you to have a good life. I love it when mine says, Dad, you think I can take your truck to go skiing? I'm like, that's my work truck, but sure, buddy, no work today. Because that tells me what? Him and I, we have this deep connection. That he knows he have access to everything I have. You know that as a father, that satisfies me. And then I'm sure for him, it's a double blessing. Because now, not only Ryan has a car, but he also has a truck. Because why? His father has a truck. Now Ryan doesn't have to go in his closet for a suit. He can go in my closet. He's like, oh, look how many jackets I have. Are you with me? My brothers and sisters, that's the way God wants us to live. He wants us, and that's what Paul's talking about here. He's like, man, when I think about all these, even me as a prisoner, you need to realize you stop thinking as Gentiles. Stop thinking as orphans. Because God wants you to enjoy His blessings. He wants you to enjoy what He has for you. And I tell you, I thank God because I believe in my own walk with the Lord, starting November last year, I've been through a breakthrough in my mind when it comes to being God's beloved. I'm experiencing a level of freedom, even in the way I see people. Because now, instead of judging people, I literally stopped judging people. Because I'm speaking who people should be. You know, instead of seeing them so miserable, I see them full with joy. I speak it, then I pray it, then you call them up. That's what God's doing with you and I, my brothers and sisters. He's calling us up. And He wants you to come how? Boldly. When you come before Him, you come knowing who you are and knowing who He is. Man, there's nothing like it. I tell you, man, I take this example because if living with my adult children now, I'm like, I'm enjoying it. I mean, I'm going to be happy when they leave, but I'm going to be sad too. You know? Because it's like, I'm gone for 9 days. I'm like, man, I miss Ryan. I miss Priscilla. I miss Alyssa. And I'm like, wow, my home is with them. And their home is with us. We belong. That's what it says. We are a temple for the Lord, right? It says you are citizens along with God's holy people. And then it says you are members of God's family. Now, when you go to the original, there's the word member is not in there. What does it say? I think if you guys read with me in your NIV or the King James, it says, so then you are no longer strangers or aliens or outsiders without right citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. You belong to God. You belong. I mean, when you're born into a family, you don't have to be telling your kids, you're mine. Sometimes we do because, you know, people adopt the orphan mindset. But Paul's trying to tell them, hey, stop thinking as orphans. You belong. You know, one of the things we struggle with, if you all could be honest like me, sometimes we struggle to realize that we belong. Let me tell you again, you belong. Let me tell you, you belong. Especially here, I'm talking in the context of the Restoration family. You guys, you belong. I belong, I belong. I'm part of God's family. Listen, you belong. If you feel you don't belong, please get rid of that mindset. Because you do belong. You belong. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And I'll touch on those two words later on. But who is the cornerstone? Christ Jesus Himself is the cornerstone. Verse 21, chapter 2, it says, we are carefully joined together. How? In Him. What join us together? Jesus. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming what? A holy temple for the Lord. I told you, God does not dwell in building. Thank God for this building. But God dwells who? Where? Right here. He dwells here. He wants to make His habitation. Habitation? Is that how you say it? Habitation. He wants to make His dwelling. You know, it says in the Psalm, He who dwells in the secret place. But God's like, you know where that secret place can be? In here, within. So every day, whatever you do, you invite the Lord to come in. You know, and of course, I'm going to stop there and possibly come back later on. But I just love this. The Word is full of life. When I think about all this, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, for the benefit of you Gentiles, and then of course I went back and I showed you was talking about. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I ask that you would forgive us for all the times that we just think as orphans. And because we think as orphans, we miss your blessings. We miss to partake in what you've already done for us. Lord, we thank you that, you know, like Paul read it here in chapter 3, it says, through your power, your divine power, give us everything we need, Lord. God, thank you. Thank you for reformatting our mind in ways now we can stop seeing ourselves as orphans, but we can truly live as sons and daughters of the living God. We are so thankful for your word and so thankful for what you are doing in our midst. Thank you for your spiritual bread. And Lord, as we transition to continue to fellowship in your presence with one another, we thank you for the physical food. We thank you for this culture we have here. It's your culture, a culture of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and an honor in the way we fellowship with one another to get to know one another. I pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done in Jesus' name. Now let's stand and I pronounce a blessing. Now may the Lord keep you. May the Lord bless you. And I ask in the name of Jesus that his face would shine upon you and his peace would rule each of our hearts. In the name of Jesus, and you saints say, amen. Amen. All right, well, let's continue in the next room. How about that? God bless you guys. And then the ushers can stand in the back, and as you go out, you can bless the Lord with your tithes and offerings.